Hello and welcome back to Talk Richmond. I'm your host, Jim Millard, and in this week's podcast, I'm thrilled that we're joined by Claire Box, founder of The Real Junk Food Project, Twickenham, a local food redistribution project whose mission is to feed bellies, not bins. I love that. That's a great line. This uses food that would have been wasted, turning it into great meals and redistributing any surplus food in the local community. So we'll be discussing how we can all keep our weekly grocery costs down, which is, of course, especially important during the current cost of living crisis, as well as the wider issue and issues around food waste. So without further ado, a very warm welcome, Claire, to Talk Richmond.
Thank you, Jim. Hello.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you. Thank you for coming. And to kick us off, please, could you tell us more about the Real Junk Food Project and the work you do in the borough?
Yeah, so we are a pay-as-you-feel, not-for-profit organisation. We're an environmental project, saving surplus food going to landfill. We turn it into healthy meals in our cafe at the Aetna Community Centre 3 times a week. So Monday, Wednesday and Friday at the Aetna Centre from 11:30 to 1:30. We have a food hub table outside in Hampton Hill on a Tuesday, and a takeaway cafe with a hot food hub on Thursday at Linden Hall Community Centre in Hampton. So we operate on a pay-as-you-feel basis. So if people have the means to be able to give us a donation, that's fantastic. But we are open to everyone. And yeah,
I love that. And happy cafe, feeding bellies, not bins. These are great. You obviously got a good turn of phrase. You know, there's a lot of options there for people to come along and take advantage of this fantastic service you're providing. It's so good to hear about. And I wanted to ask, to start off really, how can better food management help people spend less on food?
Well, basically, I think if people were to bulk buy what they use regularly, shop around for the things that you know that you're going to want in your cupboards. What I tend to do is I'll go into all the different shops that are available to me or on my day-to-day, and then just check out the prices, because in certain stores you're going to find that you're going to get a better deal or save a few pounds. For instance, if you like olives, instead of buying a little tub of olives, then you can go and buy a jar. A tub of olives will cost you £3, but you actually buy the big jar and it's £2.50. Own brands are a good option as well. Own brands are actually the big brands because they have the means to provide the volume for the big supermarket. So if you like Heinz beans, go and have a look. Check out all the different ones and you'll find Heinz beans somewhere, you know, a lot less of the price. Also good, having a good stock of spices, sauces and things like that in your cupboards, just to be able to get creative with your leftovers, and knowing what you have in your cupboards or in the fridge when you go shopping is key, really, because then you just buy what you actually need.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. We've done that in our house. We've tried a lot of own brands and we've switched to quite a few because I think, you know, they're equal or not, if not better. So, you know, it's well worth, I endorse that, but I'm going to try the other things you're talking about as well. They all sound very good. So, I mean, obviously, you know, we're in the cost of living crisis. It's so important that we look after the financial side of feeding our families. But this isn't just about the economics of it, is it? It's also that food waste has a huge cost to the environment. So why is reducing food waste so important for the environment?
Well, in the UK alone, 36 million tonnes of gases that we could actually prevent in the UK alone in a year. So, and also if people are throwing away good, you know, the food that's out of date in the packages itself, people should be recycling the things, packaging, rather than just going, oh, that's out of date, it's gone a bit mouldy, and throw the whole thing away. You know, if you could just manage it better so that you're doing your bit for the environment, definitely.
It really seems like we're in a place where, I mean, you know, I've already talked to some people in previous weeks about other aspects of the cost of living crisis, and it always comes down to what helps us survive financially also helps us to protect the planet for our future generations at the same time, it seems. So do you have any top tips for reducing waste?
I do. So I would definitely write a list before you go shopping. A meal plan is also a great way to do that. Know what's in your cupboards and your fridge, and get creative with your leftovers. wrapping food before you, you know, when you properly, when you put it into the fridge or freezer, so it doesn't actually spoil once you've tried to save that for the next time. It doesn't get freezer burn, whatever you call it. Also, cutting up meat and things into portions before you store it, ready for the next meal. So say you buy a pack of three chicken breasts. You know, instead of having a chicken breast each for the dinner, you could have two for that meal, chop it into chunks, but then the third one, slice it really thinly, ready for your stir fry for the next meal, so that you can bulk that out. That's a tip that I use.
Oh, I like that. It's less washing up as well. You don't have to chop it and wash up twice.
Exactly. Yes.
I like it. Yes. Carry on. Sorry. It's me interrupting.
No, I'm sorry. I'm waffling. I'm a foodaholic. So I was like, oh, yeah. Also, how many people will cut off the florets of the broccoli and the cauliflower and throw away the stalk? That is actually one of the best bits of the vegetable. And that's another three or so portions. They actually taste great raw as well. So, you know, you can grate those into salads or something. Yeah. Actually, one of my volunteers made a salad in the cafe, and I hadn't actually tasted it. And one of the visitors said, "What is that in the salad?" And I said, "Well, I'm not sure. Which bit?" And he said, "This bit here." So I went off. I tried a bit, and I was like, "That's fantastic. What is it?" And I found the volunteer that had made the salad, and it was actually raw parsnip.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Or is it turnip? No, I think it's raw turnip. Sorry, not parsnip.
Okay.
Parsnip's roast, yeah. But yeah, I learned something that day as well.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. Another great tip, actually, is I actually leave the skins on my mashed potato at home. So I call it crunchy mashed potato. So actually, you're saving time with the peeling and the thing, and you just mash it all together. Chop it really finely, small cubes when you're mashing.
Mm.
And when I was in Barbados, the crisps are so expensive out there. It's ridiculous. So I was teaching everyone, when you peel your potatoes, just add a bit of oil or melted butter with garlic, put it in the oven, homemade crisps.
So they're wow. For you.
They were amazed at that.
Fantastic. Barbados tips.
Barbados tips, yes.
I love these tips. Have you got more? I don't want to stop you.
Oh, yeah, no. What else do I know? Batch cooking. Yeah, so so if you go and buy, say, mince, for example, if you buy the bigger packs, it's actually worked out cheaper. If you cook it all at the same time, but then say you want some for that meal, which could be a bolognese, and a shepherd's pie. So you take out the portion that you're going to use for the shepherd's pie because you don't want the tomato in it. And so you've cooked it all in one. So you've saved time, effort, cooking costs, etc. And you could even, you know, the 750 pack of mince, you could actually make three meals out of that. If you get creative, you add pulses, you add tins of tomatoes.
So pulses like lentils and that sort of thing.
Lentils, yeah, potatoes, things like that.
And you've already touched on this, I think, to a certain extent, but we were talking earlier about good questions to ask, and we wondered if you've got any recipes for leftovers or things we wouldn't normally cook.
One of my favourites is when you roast the chicken. Chicken, you can have a couple of meals out of that. So I never waste the carcass of a chicken. You pop in some bit of celery with the carcass, some onion, salt and pepper. And once you've boiled that, you then let it cool down. You literally strip every little piece of chicken off of there. Well, actually, you can slice off some before you do that for your sandwiches. So you've got your sandwiches. And then you turn it into a lovely soup or a stew with potatoes, lots of bay leaves. Another quick one, if you'd like a really quick fish curry. So super noodles. You know, you get a little pack of super noodles.
Yeah.
This is 30p, 40p. You start off with a pan, a little bit of butter or oil. You get some spring onions, anything left over that you have, tomato, whatever, pop that in, fry that up a little bit. Then you get a tin of sardines or tinned mackerel in tomato sauce. That in. You crunch down the super noodles. Pop that in. Pop those in. Top it up with water or tin of tomato and or tin of tomatoes. Lid on. Let that simmer for a little bit. Voila.
Wow.
Olives. I'll chuck olives in there. Bit of everything.
Sounds fantastic. Got to try that.
I used to have that when I taught karate and I'd been out all day. And I wanted something quick, easy, nutritious, protein. Yeah,
If that's the
that's
sort of thing that sustains a karate teacher, then I think we can all agree that's probably
on.
quite good fare. We're learning quite, I like this, there's a thread here about, we're learning quite a lot about Claire Box as well. Karate teacher, lived in Barbados. What we.
My husband's Bayesian, his family Bayesian.
Ah, so how long did you live in Barbados for?
Oh, I didn't live there, unfortunately.
You've been
I went out
visiting.
there, been there twice. Yeah, working honeymoon out there as well.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
What was the inspiration in your life to start this junk food project?
So it was a meeting with my friend Chrissy at yoga on Ilpi Island back in 2017, and it was actually I'd seen a poster at one of our mutual friends. About the junk food, about her thoughts of setting it up. She'd actually lived in Brighton, and there's a big junk food project down there. So Chrissy wanted to set up one up here, and it turned out that although Chrissy lived on a boat in North London, she worked as a nanny in the same small street as I lived in Strawberry Hill. So that's how it came about. We sort of. Both creative artists, airheads, but we managed to dolly step our way through, had some help with the business side of things, get things up and running, and took off from there.
Fantastic.
So, the beginning, it was just myself and Chrissy running around doing all the collections, all the setting up, all the redistributions, and now we have over 70 volunteers working with us.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow. That is amazing.
Yes.
And if anyone listening to this wants to get involved, how can they volunteer?
So we're on all the different social medias, and our website is www.trjfptwickenham.com. So you can see on there what we do, some photos and everything, and obviously our email and everything. Contact us through any of those means.
Fantastic. You said you had help setting it up with the, working out the finances. Who did you get that support from?
So we're not for profit, so we didn't have any financial help to start with. It was just literally for the first year and a half. I think it was just in lockdown, actually, was the first time that we'd actually got some funding, because our wonderful director, Penny Vigting, had joined us, and with her background, she had the skills that we didn't have to apply for funding and that sort of thing. So through that we've managed to expand, with the different venues, and we've had help with processes, and we've been like water, really. We've had to adapt practically on a daily basis since we started, and things come
Sure.
up, and then we've tackled that. And, all right, well, we need to work that one out and find a process for that. And
A lot's happened since you started.
a lot has happened since we started. Yes.
And I bet you had no idea how valuable, although it seemed important at the time, how the times that were about to come along were going to make it even more important for everybody.
100%. As we said, we just started our little cafe to stop, food going to waste, and because we both love food and wanted to love creating, and then the pandemic hit, and we turned into a COVID response team at that point, where other charities and organisations that would normally collect the food, they were closed. So we ramped up to 7 days a week, and we're redistributing here, there, and everywhere to fire stations and the nurses'
Wow.
places and care homes, and we were putting out on all our social media, and obviously people wanted to get involved after that, which is lovely. So And they had time on their hands as well from furlough and things. So, with the cost of living crisis now, the whole dynamics have changed. So where we collect the yellow stickers from the supermarkets, we never know what we're going to collect on a daily basis anyway. So it's very sort of random. But now, obviously, a lot of people are in need of buying the yellow stickers that we collect. So, we did see a drop in the donations, but we always make sure we have staples in the pantry, should we say, rice and pulses and things. So whoever comes through the door can have a hot meal and healthy meal.
Fantastic. Well, Claire, it's been fantastic talking to you about what you do,
Thank
about the Real Junk Food
you.
Project in Twickenham. Is there anything else you want to say to anyone listening about food waste, about making the most of what you've got to feed people and all those sort of things that you're clearly very experienced in?
Oh yes. I would definitely say get out of your comfort zone and try different combinations. When you've got leftovers, just save it. Try different combinations with things that you have that you wouldn't have tried before. That's the great thing about the junk food cooking as well, because it's like, oh, we've got this and we've got this, and let's try and put, a bit of that with it, and voila.
Yeah. And you might come up with absolute
You
genius.
do, yes.
So, that is it. Thank you so much, Claire, for talking to us on Talk Richmond,
Thank you, Jim.
sharing your tips, making the most of food and saving food waste. It's great to hear about the work you're doing locally to reduce food waste and feed the community for less, especially when, obviously, as we've said, we look at the impact food waste has on climate change and the fact that sadly, food bank use is higher than ever due to the terrible cost of living crisis that we're having to go through at the moment. And, we can all be clear, it's easy to turn a blind eye to the amount of food we waste within our own homes, but this is one of the easiest ways we can keep our food bills down and play our part to help tackle climate change. It's a win-win. So let's all improve our cooking skills. Let's get outside our comfort zone, try some new combinations, spend less, waste less, and improve our awareness of the impact of food waste. Now, and thanks for all the details about how to volunteer and how to find the Real Junk Food Project in all the locations it operates. We'll have links to that on the show notes on the webpage connected to this. So if you want to find out more, have a look down there, click through. We've also got links to our Cost of Living Hub to show you all the ways you can get support at this time. Do email talk@richmond.gov.uk with any feedback or questions. And if you are on a platform that allows you to leave a review, please do so. It helps other people find us. And if you want to leave 5 stars, I think that would be very tasty. I'm Jim Millard. Thanks for listening.